He lost my voice, haven't he? Well, things look a bit different up here this morning, don't they?
Yes.
Just a little different. We've got some balloons, we've got a banner, and the theme of our service this morning is, it's party time. Are you ready to have a good party this morning? Yes. I wasn't so sure when I was standing here this morning, we were singing, you know. We were a bit kind of, but we've got something to celebrate this morning. We're going to be thinking about a story in the Bible which Jesus told about a great party that God wants us to become part of. A party that God wants us to really enjoy together. And I thought sort of get us in the theme this morning, we would just have a little chat with a few people and find out, first of all, has anybody had a birthday in the last 2 weeks? Put your hand up. Excellent. A few people here, okay. Well, I'm going to start here. Did you have a party?
No.
No party. Did you have any presents?
Yeah.
Excellent. Did you celebrate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, good. Where's Robert? I see your hand up, Robert. Yeah? You have a party recently? Birthday?
Yesterday.
Today? Yesterday. Yesterday. There we go. Excellent. Brilliant. Happy birthday. Who else did I see? Somebody else here. Birthday recently? Yes? When was it? The 10th of...
July.
10th of July. So just a few days ago. Excellent. Do you have a party?
No
party, okay. Do you have a hand up?
11th, yeah.
The 11th, okay. Anybody else have a party recently? Somebody's waving. Jonah, was it your birthday? Was it? And how old are you? 3? No, I don't think so. I know you're 2, actually.
Happy birthday.
Where's Marilyn? Marilyn, you had a birthday recently, didn't you? When was your birthday?
No, mine's to come.
To come, when is it?
This week.
This
week? Yeah.
Did you do the flowers today?
Yeah.
Are the flowers for your birthday?
Yeah.
Mm. Flowers for her birthday, right? There we go.
Nobody buys you flowers.
Well, we've had a lot to celebrate here recently, haven't we? We've had, let me see if I can remind you this morning, we had a family fun day. Enjoy that a few weeks ago. That was good fun, wasn't it? Oh, the first thing I was going to put up was the ladies' breakfast. Put up your hand if you're part of that. Quite a lot of you, weren't you? I need to get this in the right order. The ladies' big breakfast. Is that right? We're very, very careful. That's why I'm saying it really slowly this morning. And all this food makes me very hungry. Just look at the breakfast that these guys had. Amazing, actually, isn't it? When you look at the picture on the screen, and boy, did they go to town when it came to decorating the place. Lots of balloons, lots of celebrations, lots of conversations taking place. And then what do we have? Our family fun day. And Charlie, who just seemed to love getting wet, as well as Matt. And Charlie and a lot of our young people are away today at a camp, so we need to remember them in our prayers this weekend. But that was a great day, wasn't it? Bouncy castle. Anybody see themselves in that picture? Maybe. We had our own ice cream van, if I remember the next picture rightly. Yes, our own ice cream van. What was a great day, isn't it? If you're going to have a party, have your own ice cream van. It's got to be worthwhile doing, doesn't it? What else? Here's people having a good time. Here's Sarah, who helped to organise that day for us. Great conversations taking place. And I love this photograph too, look. They were advertising holiday at home. So they spent the day having a holiday while we were having a fun day. Great idea, I have to say. Looks like they were having a great time. And what about this picture? Poor old Charlie. Goodness me. That looks like fun, doesn't it? Unless you're Charlie, of course. But he loves to have a good time, doesn't he? And if you've signed up for your barbecue, we're going to have some fun a little bit later on today, aren't we? As we celebrate and eat lunch together. And I don't know if Jasmine and Tom here, if I spot you somewhere and I walk down and think, your wedding is coming up very soon, isn't it? Another great celebration day on the 9th of August. We love celebrating in this church. And as Chris said last week, any opportunity that we have for tea and cake, we're going to take it. That's the kind of church that we are. So it's party time. That's what we're thinking about this morning. One of the things that you discover about Jesus is that he loved a good party. When you read the Gospels and the stories about Jesus, he loved eating with people and spending time with people. And he chose a wedding party to perform his first miracle, where he turned lots of water into the most delicious wine. That's a very powerful picture of some new things that he wanted to do in people's lives. And we're going to be thinking a little bit more about that later in our service. But now we're going to stop and give thanks to God. because it's easy to think about all the good things that we enjoy and forget to say thank you. So here's a little video clip that's going to help us. And then Rob and Sophie and their boys are going to come and lead us in some prayers of thanksgiving. So let's just think quietly for a moment about how God has blessed us.
Hey, Ozzie! Ozzie! Are you alive?
No.
How come you're just sitting there?
I'm bored.
I'm kind of bored too.
I couldn't wait for the summer holiday. And now that it's here, there's nothing to do. I'm bored.
There has to be something we can do.
Like what?
Hey, I know. We can ride our bikes.
No, my tire's flat.
How about a game of football?
Nah. All the other kids went away, and it would be just you and me, and don't tell anyone, but you'd probably beat me.
Christmas! Let's celebrate Christmas!
Now? In the middle of July?
Why not? At Christmas time, people are kind and thoughtful and do things to share the love of Jesus with others. Shouldn't we do that all year long?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, why wait till Christmas? Let's do some of those special things now.
You mean, like, visiting old people and singing Christmas songs to them?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, right. They'll think we're crazy.
We could sing other songs instead of Christmas carols.
Well, that is a great idea. I bet no one goes to sing to old people in the summer. Everyone's too busy.
Let's ask Mum if we can bake some mince pies to take along.
Mince pies? In July? Nice. I'm beginning to like your crazy idea, Lucy.
Maybe if we promise to do the work, we could even have a Christmas party for the local children.
A Christmas party? In July? That's a new one.
We could make up some games and stuff, and somebody could read the Christmas story, or maybe some other story about Jesus from the Bible.
Hey, do you think Dad would put up the Christmas tree?
No way. I've got coloured paper and some other stuff to make decorations.
I'll do the invitations on the computer. I'm good at that.
Great.
You know, Lucy, we should visit that new family that moved in down the road and invite them to our party.
Mum always says there's never enough time to do all the things we want to do at Christmas, so this year we'll get an early start.
Wow! Now we've got tons of stuff to do. This summer isn't so boring after all.
Come on, let's get started. There's no reason to wait till Christmas to share the love of Jesus.
Joy to the world. So if you're not working on a sheet, let's turn back to the Bible just for a few minutes this morning, okay, to this passage in Luke chapter 14, back on page 1048. If you can find it this morning. We're just going to dig into this story just for a few minutes this morning and just see, well, what does God want to teach us out of this story this morning? And I want to take just a couple of minutes just to sort of set the context of this story. If you have it open in front of you, there's something else going on that happens before Jesus tells this story. Jesus has been invited to the home of a very prominent religious leader. And it seems that there's a bit of a lull in the conversation. Have you ever been to a party like that, where people aren't quite sure what to say next, and the conversation goes quiet, and you're sort of racking your brain and thinking, well, how can I keep this conversation going? This may be what was going on in this story. And Jesus, in verse 12, decides to throw in something quite controversial. And he says to the religious leaders that he's eating dinner with, he says, try this out, he says. If you want, look at verse 12, he says, if you want to organize a really good party, don't invite your friends, and don't invite the wealthy neighbors and the relations. He says, that's a really boring thing to do. Because if you do that, then they're going to invite you back to their home, and you're going to keep kind of going backwards and forwards to their home. And Jesus says, no, he says, try something else. He says, why don't you go out and invite the people that you don't normally invite into your home? The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the people who were excluded from the kind of dinner party that Jesus was at. And then, says Jesus in verse 15, if you look at it, he says, instead of getting your reward in terms of another invitation, he says, you'll get your reward in heaven. What a conversation stopper. I bet it was followed by one of those long pauses where nobody really knows what to say next. And if you notice in the story, in verse 15, one of the religious leaders breaks the silence with a kind of religious cliche. I reckon he thought Jesus was going to pat him on the back and say, what a great man you are. He says in the silence, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who eats at the kingdom of God. And I say he probably put it on in quite a pious voice. You know, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who eats the kingdom of God. Expecting Jesus just to sort of pat him on the back and say, what a great man you are. But instead, Jesus does what he so often does, and he tells a story with a real sting in the tail. And in verse 24, you read, Jesus says, these people who are invited to my banquet and refuse to come, they won't get a taste of it at all. So let's take a closer look at the excuses that people make not to come to this great invitation. A few people to help me. Children, any of you want to kind of give me a hand at this point? Any volunteers? Come on and back up then. Come on back up. Actually, I'll take one at a time, all right? You come first. That'll be great. Let's have a look at the first excuse. See, can you rip that open for me and we'll read it out. The first excuse, if you look at verse 18 in our story, you'll find that the excuse is there. It's the kind of excuse that lots of people still make today when Jesus' invitation is mentioned. Let's see if we can bring up the invitation now. Can you read that out for me? What's the first excuse?
I am sorry, I cannot come to the party because I am too busy.
Too busy. Great. You go sit down, okay? So there's the excuse. I'm too busy to come to your party. Verse 18. There he's like people today who kind of have no thinking in their thoughts about who God is. Life kind of goes on. This guy says, well, you know what, I've bought something and I've got to go and have a look at it. What about excuse number two? Somebody else going to help me? Yes, brilliant. Excuse number two. If you can rip that open for me, we'll have a look at the next excuse that's in this verse. If you're looking at the Bible, you'll find these excuses in verses 19 and 20. So let's rip that open, shall we? Let's see if we can find out what the next excuse was. The first excuse was, well, I'm just too busy to think about God's party. I've sealed those up far too well, haven't I? I never think about that when it comes to the service. I sort of stick them all up, make sure they're properly sealed. There we go. What's the second excuse?
I'm so sorry, I can't come to the party because other things are more important.
Other things are more important, thank you. And in the story, the important things are, this guy says, well, I bought some oxen and I want to kind of go to the fields and I want to try them out. And somebody else says, well, I've just got married, so I can't come. Now, Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't buy things, and he's not saying we shouldn't get married. He's talking about our priorities. And it's very easy, isn't it, for us to have lots of other priorities and not for God to be our first priority, our first, the most important person in our life. I'm too busy, first excuse. There are other things that are more important. But there are two more excuses lurking in this story, a little less obvious. Come on up, you can come and help me with the third excuse. These last two excuses are kind of a bit hidden in this story, but I think you'll spot them as we read them out this morning. Excellent. Sense of anticipation here, isn't it? It's growing. Okay, thank you. I'll take that. Do you want to read that out for me? Here's the next excuse in the story. That's right. Do you want to turn around so people can see your beautiful face up here?
I am sorry I can't come to the party because I don't need to. I am good.
I'm good enough. Okay, there's somebody saying, I don't need to come to your party because I'm good enough already. And he's like the man in verse 15. Do you want to go back to your seat? You can take that with you. Who came out with that little cliche line, that little religious line, because the Pharisees in Jesus' day thought they could earn their way into the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus tells a story like this, they think, well, that's for everybody else, but it's not for us. We're good enough. We can earn our way into God's kingdom. And I'm sure that one day he'll accept us if we're good enough. So there's the third excuse buried in this story. I don't need to come because I'm good enough. And excuse number four. One more volunteer? Yeah, right at the back. Come on up. Brilliant. Marvellous. Great to get all these helpers this morning. Fantastic. You can open that last one. A lot of glue, I know. I make it really difficult, don't I, up here? You've done really well, actually. Right, what excuse is this one, then?
I'm sorry, I cannot come to the party because I'm not good enough to be invited.
Brilliant, thank you. I'm not good enough to be invited. That's part of the reason why Jesus told this story in the first place. Because the religious leaders in Jesus' day excluded people. They said, if you can't be as good as we are, then you're never going to make it to God's party. But Jesus came and he welcomed people around him and he ate with people who knew they hadn't got it all together and who'd been excluded. And he ate with these people who had this sense that they were not good enough for God. And what makes this story so sad, a bit like our party that we tried a little bit earlier on in our service, is that all of these invitations go out and nobody wants to come to the party. The story has this amazing invitation. Jesus says in it, come, because now everything is ready. And the question that Jesus wants us to ask very simply this morning is, where are you in the story? When Jesus extends that invitation to a relationship with him and to become a follower of Jesus, where are you in the story? Are you too busy? Are you too preoccupied? Nope, somebody sent a tumble. Are you too preoccupied? Are you saying that you're good enough and you can just, you know, earn your way into the kingdom of God? Or are you saying, I'll not be able to do it because I'm not good enough? I want to take you back to something that we've been learning on Sunday mornings when it comes to understanding this invitation that God gives to us. It's all about the grace of God. We've been learning this together, haven't we, on Sunday mornings together, that God is portrayed in the Bible as a lovesick father who comes and wraps his arms around his wayward children. We've been discovering that God is like somebody who forgives a multi-million pound debt that nobody can repay. And we've been discovering this morning that God is like a banquet giver who extends his amazing invitation for people to respond to. And we've been learning together on these Sunday mornings, haven't we? It's all about the grace of God. We can't earn our way into a relationship with God. Here's the verse we've been learning. It's on the screen. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. So that no one can boast about it. That's how we respond to this invitation that we've been thinking together about this morning. Sometimes people say to me, what do I actually need to do in order to become a follower of Jesus? So what do I need to do in order to accept this invitation that we've been thinking about together this morning? I find three very helpful words. You can pop them into the invitation. We say thank you to Jesus for dying in our place. That's why the cross is so important at the front of our church. That's how we come into a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying for me. We say sorry because we recognize that we've actually got to deal with some of the things that are wrong in our lives, turn around and start living a life that pleases God rather than ourselves. And we say please because God says, when you become a follower of Jesus, I will help you. My spirit will strengthen you and help you to follow Jesus. So where are you in the story this morning? It's a good question to ask, isn't it, as we finish this morning. Where are you in the story which Jesus is talking about? The invitation is ready. The party is available. Jesus says there's still room. Are we too busy? Are we too preoccupied? Are we like the Pharisees and the religious leaders who say, well, you know what, I can earn my way. I don't need this as a gift. Or maybe you think you're not good enough. God says, my grace. That's how it works. And if you look at that at the end of the pew, you'll find one of these little booklets. There's a prayer at the end of that that you could take home with you this morning if you want to think a little bit more about how we respond to Jesus' amazing invitation. We're going to sing. We're going to sing a song which helps us understand how we respond to the invitation. And then we're going to sing a song which helps us to